Chapter 27. A Final Reckoning. Ubek ran all the way from the Chalice of Fire's teleportarium to the secure dock where he knew Zaul would be. Only a matter of two decks. It still felt like an age. He found the chaplain amid smoke and still-burning bodies slumped against the wall. A battle had been fought around the armarium. A costly one. The dead lay strewn about, all of them salamanders. Krask and his warriors waited at the entrance, their guards still up.
"Firefather," uttered Ubek.
As he rushed over to Zaul, Ubek could discern no life signs from him, and began to fear the worst. Blood caked the chaplain's black armor, and half of his face had been seared by the heat of the now dying flames. Ubek had seen Zandu, Var, and the last of Var's squad on the way in, and knew they were all dead. He could not find their killer, though. The silent Morrican. Zaul's eyes opened a crack, and Ubek exhaled his relief.
"The raven. Is he here?"
Ubek had one hand on his sidearm, but Zaul shook his head. It was only then that Ubek noticed the drakehead stave still clutched in the chaplain's grasp.
"Is that?"
he asked, crouching over the chaplain to check his vitals.
"I am sorry, brother captain,"
said Zaul, his voice ragged and failing.
"But I found my faith again. I see Vulcan. Not in the flames."
He reached up and held the side of Obek's face.
"But in you."
His eyes, now flickering open and shut, went to Krask, who stood solemnly nearby, and then to Zen, who looked on stoically.
"In all of us."
"Don't speak," Ubek told him. "The apothecary, he may yet help us."
Struggling to breathe as his lungs collapsed, Zaul shook his head sadly and smiled.
"Our fate was never to survive."
His hand fell from Obek's face, and then he was still. Head bowed, Ubek reached up and shut the chaplain's eyes. Such a cost, he could never have imagined how severe. When they had all sworn their allegiance to the mission in the igneous vault back on Prometheus.
"Firebearer,"
ventured Krask, after a few moments of silence. His warriors stood behind him, respectfully observant.
"What now?"
Ubek secured the drake stave to his own armor. He would return the artifact to the armarium later. But for now,
Tekel is still aboard that ship. We'd damn well get him back.
"The embarkation decks are in ruins, and I doubt the obstinate teleportarium will receive us."
Krask was right, but Ubek had another method of incursion in mind. He raised the shipmaster on his vox.
"Master Rain."
"Aye, my lord,"
came the voice of the old wayfarer across the feed. Rain was of Nocturne, and all his years in the navy could not drum his thick tribal accent from him.
"What is your bidding?"
"Bring the chalice in close to the obstinate. Within direct boarding action distance."
Rain cleared his throat, suddenly anxious.
"Oh, that close? Their weapons, they will tear us open, lord."
Ubek smiled grimly.
"Ulok won't fire on us. He still believes he has the upper hand and wants what's on this ship. Bring us close, just short of ramming them."
Rain gave a wary affirmative, but went about his duty. In moments, the boosted plasma engines of the Chalice of Fire could be felt thrumming through the lower decks.
"We'll cross the void in our power armor, through the tear in the hull,"
Ubek declared to the others. No one gainsayed him. Krask grinned ferally.
"Eye to eye,"
he said.
"As near as Rain dares," Ubek confirmed,
and was heading from the secure dock intent on the mission when he found Zen in his path.
"You are wounded, brother captain. I can see it in the way you move. Or don't move."
"So are you, Vexillary."
Zen sharply drew both swords. Ignus and Drakos were either side of Obek's neck before he had a hand on his blade's hilt.
"Not as badly as you. Besides,"
he said, politely sheathing his swords,
"someone must remain behind if this fails. If Tekel does not return, you are custodian of the artifacts."
And he looked down reverently at the drake-headed stave, a sense of wonderment in his eyes.
"We should not abandon our mission."
And here I was, believing you in search of glory again,
Obek replied wryly. Zen smiled.
Well, who says I'm not?
I, for one, said Obek,
and laid a hand on his shoulder.
Bring back our forge father, he told him.
Vulcan lives,
said Zen, as he, Krask, and the Terminators moved out.
Vulcan lives, Obek replied as he watched them go.
The blast doors parted, emitting clouds of white gas and the flashing spectrum of the Obstinate's embarkation deck's warning lamps. Through them stepped Ulok, who looked incredulously at the immortal standing 50 feet away at the end of the access conduit. The lumens were dimmed, and the Iron Father's bionic eyes shone almost malevolently in the darkness. Only when Aurum Gallicus raised his power maul in salute did Ulok realize what was actually happening. Ulok's face fell, as stern and cold as the metal that had colonized his body.
Flesh is weak, he said, disappointed,
and ordered the revenants to attack.
The engine at the heart of the cryostasis vault was beyond Byzantine. Constructed around a hexagonal core as large as a contemptor, its cables and pipes extended throughout the hectare-sized chamber to feed every casket. Embedded deep and shrouded in cryogenic mist, it could not be seen from the threshold. Up close, it took on a sinister aspect, like a metallic leviathan, its tentacles stretching off into the gloom. The sheer ranks of frozen legionaries standing in rows were staggering. Though the mist from the cryo-freezing process obscured much, it was obvious to Tekel that there must be hundreds, possibly more. An army, linked by tubes and pipes, their faces locked behind panes of ice. It was cold, and it was metal throughout. A laboratory, and not a barracks. A keen mind, but one afflicted by hubris and driven by obsession, had created this place. In its raising, Tekel saw everything his Martian masters had warned him about. He saw madness. Vulcan had taught his sons many things, metal forging, self-sacrifice, and nobility. He had wrenched himself from the very brink of self-annihilation. He had also espoused his theology of the Circle of Fire. And though the Primarch was now gone, it was this belief that brought hope to many, and which Tekel now saw had been thoughtlessly subverted by Iron Father Ulok.
That which ends, ends, and so returns to the earth, he intoned,
using his plasma cutter to shear open the outer housing of the engine. It took a few minutes, for its carapace was thick, but once through, Tekel found the inload ports where he would gain access to the Leviathan's core.
To be born again in the Circle of Fire, he said, releasing his haptic mechadendrites. To be renewed.
This was not renewal or rebirth. It was stagnation, a cruel and slow decay to oblivion. He could think of no worse fate. Bracing himself, Tekel used his mechadendrites to interface with the machine. Lancing pain filled his body at the moment of connection, demonstrating how weak he still was. Ulok had prepared defenses to his beloved horrific creation. Paranoid, as he obviously was, he had considered another tech marine or even an adept of the Mechanicum might attempt to destroy the Leviathan from within. Ostensibly, it was servos, circuits, processors. But what lay beyond those cold, engineered components was something darker. As Tekel engaged with the machine, he encountered complex, neuromorphic subroutines embedded within the Leviathan's standard operating protocols, placed there to resist his efforts to incite a catastrophic shutdown. An almost abominable intelligence possessed the machine, intent on the foreign invader's expulsion and destruction. A slabbed road stretched before him, a part of the technoscape, but as real as stone or metal underfoot. He heard his boots echo as he traversed what he knew to be the data stream. The sound resonated, but oddly, hollowly, betraying the fact it was not sound at all, but merely code his brain had begun to data sift as one footstep followed another. At the end of the road lay a gate, as tall as Olympus Mons, and rendered in iridescent crystal, and beyond the gate was the storm. Tekel could feel it repelling him with its hate and anger. He had breached its cordon, and it would kill him for this transgression. As he closed on the gate, Tekel realized he was no longer clad in power armor, but in an archaic suit of tempered drake hide, like a dragon knight of ages past. In his hand he clutched a lance, seemingly plucked from the air that was not air. Two columns held the gate in place, and though there was no wall, no barrier either side, Tekel knew he must pass through this portal to confront the machine at the eye of the storm. He broke into a run, his lance held aloft and pointed forwards in the manner of a throwing spear, but as he closed on the gate itself, the columns began to turn. On the sides that had faced directly away from Tekel were carved statues, on each a cyclops, wrenched from the days of Terran myth. In a moment of terrifying synchronicity, both creatures opened their eye to behold the interloper. With a bellow they stepped forward, leaving the columns behind and shaking the ground with the sheer weight of their tread. Tekel held firm, undaunted as he charged and felt the lance tip pierce flesh. The cyclops roared, its muscular flank impaled by 3 feet of steel. It bucked and thrashed in its agony, shaking Tekel violently, but he clung on to the haft of his weapon. The second creature tried to grasp him in its meaty hands, but still hanging onto the lance one-handed in mid-air, Tekel drew a sword out of the data stream, its blade blazing with light. One stroke, and the sword parted the cyclops's hand from its wrist. Dark ooze flowed from the stump with a sound like machine static. Shrinking, it sank to its knees, and Tekel released his grip on the lance, still transfixed in the first creature. As he fell, he gripped his sword two-handed and struck off the head of the diminutive cyclops. As he turned, the first cyclops freed itself. It snapped the lance in two, and it discorporated into fragments of shattered code. But Tekel didn't need it. He had the blade, and as the creature came for him, its eye alive with vengeance, the sword grew brighter still. It burned the creature, blinding it before searing the skin from its bones, and soon all that remained was a wire frame that capitulated under the weight of its own broken logic. The dust of the cyclops's banishment lingered for a few seconds before being swept away, consumed by the voracious data stream feeding the storm. The gate yawned open as Tekel stood before it. All that remained was the storm, and as he closed upon the threshold, he felt the presence of the machine and saw a lumbering shadow only partially concealed by the tempest. He stepped forwards, and the storm took him. He saw the beast, the many-tentacled leviathan, and from its chasmal maw it spat lightning. Assailed by a barrage of power surges that sought to burn out his nervous system, Tekel held on. Amongst a screed of hostile scrap code, he searched for the Leviathan's cortex and found a determined and hostile defender, a hunter-killer in all but name. He engaged it. The stench of his burning flesh was repellent, the pain almost unbearable, but he held on. Even when his haptic implants fused to the inload ports, he held on. And when it became too much, he roared, "Vulcan!" Smoke was rising from his armor. Heat had seared the joints, but he held on. The storm beat against him, and the lightning hammered his drakehide armor until it was nothing but a sheath of blackened flesh. Tekel held the blade aloft, its light flickering against the darkness of the Leviathan's encroaching tentacles as it sought to smother him. He cried out, "Vulcan!" But the word was emitted as a screed of code that fed the flame within the sword and saw it rekindled. The light grew, as bright as a sun and burning. It earthed the lightning and took the storm's power and fury for its own. The beast was close. It was all that Tekel could see. A single glassy eye reared up before him, and Tekel saw his fire-ravaged face reflected in it. It was abyssal, abominable. And now it must die. He forged the blade in his hand into a screed of purifying code, and as he roared his defiance at the blackness of the abyss, he thrust! Gallicus backed up. He was bleeding. One of his retinal lenses had burst, and a bloodshot eye stared out through the shattered aperture to regard his enemies.
Enemies. I once called them brothers.
Six of the Revenants were down. They needed to return to cryostasis. They needed the machine.
They're getting slow, said Gallicus, slurring his words.
Ulok did not answer. He watched from a short distance away, letting his deathless cohorts do the fighting. Gallicus smiled bitterly as he raised his battered shield. Four more Revenants came at him. Behind them, Ulok waited. Tekel fell to his knees. Thin wisps of vapor trailed upwards from the armor now fused to his stricken body, where the heat had begun to melt and evaporate the layer of hoarfrost encasing him. The Leviathan was dead. He had slain it. Managing to raise his head, Tekel looked upon the caskets and saw that it was done. The cold, dead eyes staring blankly through rimes of rapidly diminishing frost showed no awareness of their fate, or gratitude at their release, at least not those that Tekel could see.
"That which ends, ends," he said,
his voice no louder than a croak, and would have fallen but for the arm around his chest.
"Brother Drake," said Sarian,
"it seems my arrival is timely. We must get you off this ship." With effort, the apothecary managed to steady Tekel, so he would not fall, and then told him to turn aside as he severed the mechadendrites linking the Techmarine to the machine. A last stab of agony flared and then dulled as Tekel was released.
"You have my gratitude," he said, breathless.
"Well, don't thank me until you're off the ship. And to that end, I'll need to give you something so you can walk. The pain will only be momentary." Saurian took a vial from his Narthesium kit and injected Tekel in the neck. As he was helped to his feet, Tekel found his pain greatly lessened, and the fog of his injuries clearing.
"Stimulant," Sarian explained.
"It will only last for a while. Come." He led the Techmarine from the silent cryo-chamber, not sparing so much as a glance at the entombed legionaries, and brought him to an access hatch that was barely large enough to accommodate his armored bulk.
"I should let Gallicus know," said Tekel.
"He'll know," said Sarian, and gestured to the access hatch.
"That conduit will take you all the way down to the launch base. A ship is already prepared for you. It was done at the same time I sent your brothers."
Tekel nodded.
"They are your brothers too, Sarian."
"No, I think not. The Legion died on Isfan V. I saw it perish. I am a ghost, no different to the thawing bodies in that mausoleum we just left."
"Then well met, brother," Tekel replied. "If we make it back to Nocturne, I will see your name is remembered."
"I had a name once. I no longer carry it. I am content to be Sarian."
"So be it."
Tekel and Sarian clasped forearms before he entered the hatch and left the enigmatic apothecary behind. The last of the Revenants fell. Gallicus wept with every blow, for it was with both grief and vindication that he ended their suffering. His shield hung from his arm in pieces, and he shrugged it off. His power maul had become little more than a bludgeon.
"Come then, Iron Father," he beckoned,
drawing his gladius and extending it wearily in Ulok's direction.
"And let my betrayal be done."
Ulok regarded the defeated warrior and unslung his cog-toothed axe. An energy surge crackled cerulean along the blade's edge.
"You will make a worthy revenant, Aram," he said coldly. "I have always thought so."
"Only if you take me alive, Iron Father."
"You will live," Ulok replied. "You will become your namesake and join the immortal ranks. You should feel honored."
A host of silent warriors stood in ranks behind him, and Gallicus knew Ulok would not order them to attack. The Iron Father only needed for Gallicus to be worn down, not dead, before he committed him to an existence of eternal servitude.
"And if there is no casket for me," said Gallicus,
his feet unsteady,
"what then?"
Ulok's eye narrowed as he realized he had been deceived.
"What have you done, brother?"
"It's not what I have done," Gallicus replied,
before Ulok charged and struck him down. Tekel emerged onto one of the Obstinate's embarkation decks. Relatively small for such a large vessel, the deck had launch bays and maintenance pits for 6 gunships, all but one of which were empty. A reserve launch bay for use in extremis, he reasoned. A lone vessel rested on its landing stanchions, facing one of the aft launch bays. The gate was closed but not sealed. A skeleton deck crew was in attendance, engaged in maintenance. Shrouded lumens gave off little light, and Tekel kept to the shadows as he crossed the threshold. But the crewmen paid him no heed, and he realized they were all servitors. Saurian had been as good as his word, and despite his injuries, Tekel began to move confidently towards his salvation. Halfway to the waiting gunship, the launch gate icon went from green to red. A door from an upper deck opened, and a cohort of 20 Iron Hands legionaries stepped out from a conveyor with bolters trained on the Tech Marine. Tekel stopped, and heard the crackle of the ship's vox emitting from somewhere in the vaults of the hangar. A voice he did not recognize echoed mechanically.
Forge Master Tekel. They have orders to kill you if you attempt to escape, it said. I am Iron Father Ulok, and the Obstinate is my ship. Legionary Gallicus is dead. I assume it was he that asked you to sabotage the cryogenesis chamber. I did not wish to kill him, but he left me no choice.
The voice paused, as if debating the next words.
I am honored to have you aboard, but I will kill you too, if you force my hand.
The Iron Hands legionaries advanced in lockstep, and Tekel knew by the way they moved that they were Ulok's creatures, just like those he had seen frozen and entombed.
Am I to be your prisoner? Tekel asked.
A moment of silence lapsed that seemed to stretch.
Yes. You will assist me in repairing the machine you tried to destroy. I cannot, said Tekel. I will not. You say that, said Ulok, as if you think you have a choice.
The vox feed cut off abruptly, and Tekel was left alone facing the Iron Hands. They weren't here to kill him. They would have done so already. Ulok had lied about that. They were here to apprehend him. A cryo chamber must have survived, kept somewhere else aboard the ship and known only to the Iron Father. It was the only reason Ulok would need him to repair the machine. The vox crackled again, and for a moment Tekel thought Ulok had returned to gloat, but the feed emanated from his gorget.
Forge Father!
It was Aknun Zen. He was running. In the background, Tekel heard the sound of a blast door being released and the slow churn of its mechanism.
Vexillary!
Still, Tekel did not move. Still, the Iron Hands legionaries advanced. They would be upon him soon.
We are coming for you!
No!
Tekel! We are about to—
No, brother, it's too late. Tell Obek to fire upon this ship. I have disengaged its shields, but I don't know for how long.
We are at the launch bay now!
It's too late, Zen. Destroy the ship!
A few moments passed. Zen would be raising Obek or conferring with Krask if he yet lived. The Iron Hands legionaries reached him now, and Tekel sank to his knees before them, head bowed in submission. The urgency in Zen's voice had faded when he replied, turned to resignation.
Forge Father, I...
Vulcan lives, brother, said Tekel, severing the feed.
A gauntleted hand grasped his shoulder, and he closed his eyes. He was dragged to his feet and marched from the embarkation deck into the conveyor. A few seconds into their ascent, the deck erupted in fire. Tekel smiled as the flames consumed him, as the Iron Hands burned, and the Obstinate broke apart. The Eye of Vulcan had torn a mortal wound that without its shields the Obstinate was unable to survive. Shipmaster Rain, having drawn up alongside the gargantuan vessel, had no time to withdraw when the immense defense laser had fired. The explosion had gored the chalice of fire all across its port flank, overwhelming the void shields almost instantaneously, and savaging the armor beneath with a storm of debris, but the ship was spared any further collateral damage. It had near crippled the vessel, which could only limp away from the sight of the Obstinate's destruction under failing reserve power. It had taken days, not hours, to get away. They had survived, only to be doomed themselves. The salamanders had returned to one of the chalice's forge halls. A solemn brotherhood had gathered there, surrounded by eddies of smoke and tendrils of flame. Tekel was dead. So too Zaul, Zandu, Var, and many more amongst the unscarred. The wounded had been saved, those sent by Saurian in the saviour pods, but it was bitter compensation. Obek stood at the head of the throng. All was darkness and flickering shadow in the obsidian chamber. Gorog Krask and the Terminators kneeled closest, Zen alongside them, the banner clutched in his left hand. Fokan knelt in front of those firedrakes in the rear rank. Fewer than half of those who had begun the mission remained. Obek had sealed the artifacts, including the one taken by Zaul, in the deepest and hottest vault of the ship. It seemed fitting to keep them close to the heart of the forges. He donned his war helm and heard the last reports of Shipmaster Rain as he counted down the seconds of power left in the engines. After that, they would drift, with only the fathomless void before them.
"It is ended,"
he told the Drakes, unscarred no more.
"And we have found the final rest of our father's legacy. It is here, with us."
Though they kneeled, every Salamander's legionary met their captain's gaze with fiery and stalwart determination. With their dying breaths, they would protect the artifacts of Vulcan. They would hold the ship. Obek looked to Zen, raising his sword. It gleamed in the firelight, polished to a mirror sheen.
"What is the meaning of sacrifice?"
he asked.
"To live when others died,"
Zen replied.
"And what is our purpose?"
"To be the wardens and protectors,"
answered the throng.
"And who are we?"
"Vulcan's chosen,"
they said as one.
"Custodians of his legacy."
The vow had changed, Obek reflected, but their duty had not.
"Vulcan's chosen!"
he roared, and the hall shook to the echoes of impassioned affirmation.